went back home. I got so many death threats. I got so many death threats when I was sitting there protecting everything. And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home.
Oh, that would be awesome. All right, let's get this going. We've got all kinds of things to get to. Yeah, not much sports, but plenty of stuff. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. AJ Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in to the number one show in Houston and Southeast Texas, 713-780-3776 is your number. 713-780-ESPN. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Zhong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. Can also text the show, 713-780-3776. It's a Tuesday. Usually everybody's in a bad mood, but don't be today. We're going to have fun today. You know why? Because there's really not crap going on. Those are my favorite days.
What? You know, I just want to sit here and talk about where LeBron is going to go and where his kids are going to go to school next year.
We're just going to have to
3 hours.
We're going to have to do a daily 2-minute update. LeBron hates Houston, and his kids are going to L.A.
We can...
There's your news.
We can do what Barry and Joel did and just talk about how fat each other are for the first hour of the show. You want to do that?
Well, that's...
You're fatter than me.
I am fatter than you
I'm fatter than you. Jong's fat.
No, I recognize it. I'm going in tomorrow to my doctor to get back on a plan because I got to where, well, especially that friggin' trip when I smoked that much weed. Yeah, I put on 10 pounds.
So apparently Barry today said that he said, AJ's fatter than Fred because he did that barbecue tour. That was a year ago.
Yeah, that was a year ago.
We got to get past that. Moobs. We got to get past that.
Yeah, I found, and this is something we were talking about before we went on, I found that the older I am, it used to be that I could get weight off, no problem. Mm-hmm. Just work out, cut back the alcohol, eat better, boom, I'd drop 30 pounds. The older I get, man, it is harder and harder. And God, so I got to take it seriously.
You know what's sad right now is Barry left a couple minutes ago, and his arm flab is still in the room. Like, he walked out the room, shut the door, and his arm is still dragging behind.
Well, no, you saw what happened. Like, he got pinched in the door when he closed it, and he was walking down the hall, and it was like Elastic Man.
Yeah, it's like a really long tail, but it's just his arm flap. Really gross.
You know, that wasn't on the rundown of things to talk about today, but okay. Oh, man.
And I think Joel left some of his nipple tape in here for you.
Good. I'm going to need that. Good. I'm going to need that. But
Joel has the hardest working nipple tape in the business. It's like it's hard enough to hold a nipple down.
I honestly had never heard of nipple tape until Joel. Hey, we do have some cool stuff today.
What do we got?
We got Mike Jackson.
Mike the Truth.
Is going to be in studio, right?
In studio.
That's awesome because he's still part of the news.
Yeah.
Notice he was fighting back on Twitter a little bit today.
Today or every day?
Pretty much every day.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting, and Jerome will join us at 5:30, so you can ask him about $2 for a newspaper.
No, I don't want to bring that up. That's probably
I got to pay his salary somehow.
Right,
And
he's a high dollar.
They're not paying all the people in San Antonio that they laid off, and then sent people to Houston there to do their paper. But that's okay. I don't keep up with those guys anymore. we'll have those two, and then just gonna be kind of a fun day, man. It's a Tuesday in the summer, which means, yeah, we don't have to lock in and do 3 hours of LeBron.
No, we don't have to.
We don't have to do, we did Dallas Keuchel quite a bit yesterday. I don't think we need to do that again. But, the LeBron news is that basically somebody said he didn't like the city of Houston, or that LeBron told him that. So there's big news there.
LeBron told me he does like the city of Houston.
Okay. You know what he told me?
So now we've got contradicting stories.
You know what he told me?
What did he tell you?
Nothing. because I've never spoken to LeBron in person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, bud.
So I have no idea what he's going
to
do.
Sucks to be you.
But, yeah, so, I mean, this is going to be 30 days of night. And this is going to be 30 days of LeBron's going here, LeBron's going there. He doesn't like this. He does like this. Chris Paul, blah, 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 blah. That's what it's going to be for the next 30 days.
Miserable.
Yeah, so I feel like we should address it. And then that's it.
Okay.
Because I don't want it to. I don't want to dive into, wait a minute, I saw him at a strip club and he really liked it. No, that's what it's going to turn into. 713-780-ESPN. John, did your Comic-Cast hit today?
Yes, it did. And we talked about big changes over there at DC. And then we talked a little bit about E3 that's happening. It happened this weekend and it happened yesterday.
E3, what is that?
It's like it's like Comic-Con for gaming.
Ah. Oh, so you're expanding into gaming now. I see what you're doing.
No, we've done gaming in the past, but their big event was this weekend.
See, I think he's trying to carve out a new market here, because one of the questions he asked RJ was about New Jersey banning betting on e-gaming.
Oh.
So, interesting. Or e-sports, as they like to call it, which, you know, it's like me calling poker a sport. It's not. We did not get to this yesterday, but I kind of feel like we need to deal with this pretty quickly.
Okay. Immediately?
Immediately.
Let's do it.
IHOP becoming IHOB.
Okay. It's a marketing ploy.
It is a marketing ploy.
It's not permanent.
Yes, it's not.
It's a temporary. They're gonna run some commercials that call them IHOB. They're not going to go out and change their signs. They're not going to print new menus. I've discovered all this. I've unearthed everything.
Well, okay, I admit.
And by the way, if I go to IHOP, there's zero chance I'm ordering a burger. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that's a consensus. Nobody's going to go to IHOP for a burger. Nice try.
It just doesn't make sense.
IHOP is the breakfast place you go to when you're really hungover and you're too lazy to go to a decent breakfast place. That's the only reason to go. I have not been to an IHOP in 8 years.
Mm. I'm a Waffle House man.
Are you really?
I think because I spent so much time in Tennessee that I became a Waffle House man. But yeah, I have an appreciation for
the... You got naturalized.
I've got an appreciation for the Waffle House. I know it's horrible food. It's not sanitary. Like even the cooking situation, you can see it. Like they're the most blatant about being unsanitary out in the public. Like you see a dude just go in there and grab eggs with his hands and like... He'll use his finger to stir it up, and it's like, whoa, what are you doing with touching my egg with your finger? But they don't care, and people still go back.
Interesting.
Yeah, I hope everything's behind the scenes.
Yeah, I haven't really been to a chain breakfast place in forever.
I mean, are you anti-breakfast?
No.
I'm not a big breakfast guy myself.
We either do it at home or, like, I'll go to Barnaby's sometimes. I'll go to Natachi sometimes. I like Brothers Tacos for breakfast, but for the most part, if I need breakfast, I'm not going to IHOP.
Right.
But I mean, I'm trying to think, even when we're out of town, I'd rather get it in the hotel.
Yeah.
So, hey, good for them, but why would I want to go try their burger if I don't like their breakfast? And that's what they're special.
You're not going to go try their burger.
And
that's okay.
Good. Good. 713-780-ESPN. I think the last time I went, my kids were really little, and for some reason they liked IHOP.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've never been... I mean, I'm not like anti-IHOP or anything, but I don't ever go out of my way to go eat that food.
832 says IHOP is for 3 a.m. when I'm hammered drunk. I used to go to House of Pies when I was really hammered. That was my 3 a.m. place because the people watching there was amazing.
Right.
But I don't think I've gone.
Well, there's only two House of Pies. There's IHOPs everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. But I never, you know, I haven't done that in forever. It's like, oh, we've been drinking all night. Let's go eat somewhere. I can't think of the last time I did.
Yeah,
I get up so early now. It was different. It was different when I was working until 1 a.m. in the old days, because then you didn't start drinking until 1:15, and so you had to drink a lot. And then it's like, oh man, now I'm hungry. Let's go to House of Pies.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And so he says, best hangover food discuss. I don't anything greasy. You need to get something really greasy for a hangover.
I mean, that's what's so great to me. Whataburger is perfect.
Yeah, Whataburger,
like a patty melt is perfect. Yeah.
Or just the double meat with cheese. Yeah, that'll soak it up in a hurry. A lot of grease. Actually, my best place to go, and it winds up becoming like, if I've been out drinking and my next day is going to be day drinking, I usually would go to Natachi's because they serve this punch that's really good with breakfast, this rum punch stuff, and they've got a whole bunch of different ones. And yeah, you know, every now and then, when I want to push myself, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do the whole rum menu, go through all of them, and it turns into day drinking, and you wind up having lunch there too.
Yeah,
but they have really good breakfast there, and it's the only negative is like Sundays you can't drink until 10 a.m. So I can't tell you, how many times that I've like sat there at home and waited for like 9:40 to get on the bike and ride over there just so I time it out perfectly. That's degeneracy though, right?
Yeah,
man, that's what you know, we're supposed to be about. I don't do that much anymore. I'm not gonna say I'm growing up, but I'm getting too old for the back to backs.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like Tim Duncan now. I kind of have to sit out the second game, but it happens. Hey guys, I have to tell you about a new sponsor we have on the show. Very excited about Filter Easy. And guys, how often do you think about changing your air conditioning filters? Never, be honest. Well, guess what? These guys are so convenient. They're going to set it up where they arrive at your front door when you need them. That simple. You can sign up in under 5 minutes on your computer or your mobile phone, and all you need to know is how many air filters your home needs and your filter size. That's it. And they're going to send them to you whenever you need them. And that way you're not sitting here, especially this summer, you're not going to be sitting there in a month going, hey, man, it's a little warmer than usual. Maybe I need to change the filters. Now I need to, gosh, what store do I go to? You don't even need to worry about that. Filter Easy is awesome. I got mine in yesterday, and they went up this morning. And now I don't have to worry about it. The next time I need them, they're going to show up. So I don't have to think about it. And, guys, we're all busy. We all have things we're doing. The last thing we need to do is think about changing our air conditioning filters. Well, these guys have you covered. And most of the time, look, I had no idea how often to change them. And they recommend you change them every 1 to 3 months. And if you have pets, you probably need to change your filters every month. Guess what? I got pets. And poor indoor air quality is a considerable health risk. So this is a good way to get around that. A good way to do it without having to think about it. Filter Easy is a convenient subscription service for something you need. A lot of these other things you get at home, you don't need them. You need these. And it's super practical. It's a no-brainer solution. That's why I subscribe to Filter Easy. And for Blitzers, how about this? You can get your first order free by visiting FilterEasy.com or by calling 1-855-910-EASY. That's 3279. And make sure you use offer code FRED. Sign up today at FilterEasy.com to get your first order free. That's FilterEasy.com or call 1-855-910-EASY. That's 3279. Make sure you use offer code FRED.
Energy.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Just want to remind you, you can get us now both on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1 for the entire show. So if you're driving around and you just want to experiment and see which one works better for you, they're both, you know, 97.5 obviously has a very big footprint, but there's some areas where 94.1 is better. So check it out, especially if you're, you know, kind of an inside the beltway person, you might try 94.1.
Or if you're west of downtown.
Yeah, west of downtown is it's got a really good signal, so check it out. It's, for me, it's much stronger because the tower's actually right down by me. But you can use either one of them. We're happy to have you on either. And if you missed it yesterday, thanks again for making us the number one sports show in the city for the fifth straight month.
You're welcome.
That's pretty good. No, not thank you. I was thinking of people.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, because those guys listening are the ones that are putting us where we are. And just from a numbers perspective, it was a rout. It was, you know, pretty much,
it's domination, Holmes.
Yeah, it kind of felt like Alabama playing Stetson.
Yeah,
in football. J. Rab says the best hangover food is another drink. No joke. I've done that sometimes. The problem you have that I run into is if, and again, I don't do this much anymore because I don't drink like I used to. But the next day, like one margarita, two at the most, and I'd be fine. But if you take that two and turn it into another all day drinking thing,
yeah, it's pretty bad.
You're messed up. So yeah, I don't do much of that anymore. 713-780-ESPN. Drunk Bevo says the fact that name change is a stunt is actually more annoying, just a stupid lie. Says you never half-ass anything. You whole-ass something. I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of chicken bleep.
Well, I think it's all stupid. I don't care for it either way.
And I'll never eat there anyway. But
that's right. I'm never going to eat there again.
But I'm not one of those people who's saying I'm never going to eat there again because they did this because I never ate there. So it's like, oh, well. And just a quick shout out to sportsmap.com. There's some really good stuff on there today if you haven't checked it out. Follow us on Twitter at sportsmaphou, and you will get all the – it'll tell you every time something goes up. But Eric Sandler did Where to Watch the World Cup.
Okay.
So he's got 13 Houston bars and restaurants where if you're a soccer person, you're covered. We've got the two-man game from Joel Blank and Mario Elie. And some stuff from this morning. Jermaine Every, who about a month ago wrote trade Dallas Keuchel, wrote a follow-up thing saying, do you believe me now it's time to trade Dallas Keuchel?
I still say no. I still say that's a really, really dumb idea.
Yeah, Raheel wants you to help him find a country to root for in the World Cup, which I'm kind of in the same boat. I have no idea who to root for.
I'll pass.
Well, you got Germany.
I'm not going to root for anybody.
You got to root for somebody. It's the world.
No, I don't. I'll be honest. When the U.S. was in it, I didn't even root for them. I don't care about it.
Yeah, I'll watch some of it, but I don't have any rooting interest whatsoever.
I might have like a rooting interest to a point where I say like, oh, I'd like for this country to win, but if that country got to the championship game, I don't know if I'd watch.
I'll tell you what my rooting interest might be. A lot of draws in the first round for gambling purposes. And then Cody Stutes has his first offering for Sports Map today. He was out at
Texas. Cody Stutes, formerly of 610 Radio and Texans Radio.
He was out at day one of Texans minicamp, and he did 11 observations. So if you're curious about what's going on with the Texans, we decided we'd give Cody a try there and see what he can come up with.
And how is it so far?
It's good stuff. I mean,
give him a try.
Yeah, well, he's going to
You're going to give him a second try?
Yeah, he's going to do something every day of the minicamp.
Well, look at that.
And so you'll get some additional Texans coverage. So we'll see how that plays. My whole thing is about, I'm trying things and, we'll see. I'm mostly viewing traffic. Texans blows up. So we'll see how this goes. Mott says, have you guys seen the story about the Twitter CEO apologizing for eating Chick-fil-A during Pride Month? No.
No. Then,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
When is Pride Month?
I don't know. I guess apparently I have no pride.
If it was May, then I also apologize for eating Chick-fil-A in May.
But see, I never eat Chick-fil-A, so it's not.
I did.
I
ate there once in May.
That's one of those I don't. It's like, to me, Chick-fil-A is like Starbucks. I don't get what the buzz is about. I don't get why people stand in line for it. They obviously love it, but it's just, I've had it like three times, and all three times I'm like, eh.
You walk away unimpressed.
Yeah. So it's like, okay. And I'm not going to wait in line for it, which you have to. It's like the same thing with Starbucks, man. The lines are just ridiculous. Like, it's not good enough to wait in line for. But, hey, man, people love it. I don't get it.
Well, Pride Month isn't this month.
So it's this month,
yes.
June?
Yes.
I retract my apology. I also have not. I wouldn't even dream of eating at Chick-fil-A during Pride Month.
Why would we equate one with the other? Anyway, is that not like the biggest stretch ever for people to be
because Chick-fil-A is about purely heterosexual chicken?
Yeah, they're pretty staunch on.
Well, I get that they're, I get some of that, but I mean, so what? So you're not.
What do you mean, so what?
I
mean,
come on, I think we act so silly.
What?
So silly over the dumbest things now.
God, Fred. I mean, that's just offensive to so many people out there. What you just said.
Yeah, me and AJ are gonna go.
I'm going
to a quiet space.
Yeah, I'm going to go not eat Chick-fil-A tonight for sure.
I'll get you some tomorrow.
No. July 1st, I'll get back on that hetero chicken. For now, no way.
So, let's say you were to march in the Pride Parade but eat Chick-fil-A, then therefore you're a bad person. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. While you're
well, marching. Yeah, while you're doing it, okay, that's different. You're making a little different statement there.
What if you are drinking a milkshake from Chick-fil-A while marching in the Pride Parade?
Does it have a Chick-fil-A cup?
Ooh. What if I pour it into a Yeti or something?
Well, if you're not advertising that you're doing it.
Okay. As long as people don't know that it's from Chick-fil-A.
Right.
Chick-fil-A does make a good milkshake.
See, I've never had their milkshake.
Chick-fil-A is up in the power rankings on milkshakes for fast food places. Chick-fil-A and Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box, I've almost fully gotten away from ever. Like, Jack in the Box is a place where sometimes I'll eat if I'm stoned or drunk late at night.
Yeah, I still like Breakfast Jacks a little bit. I haven't had them in years, but I still will have an occasional Breakfast Jack. Maybe once a year.
I like the Sourdough Jack.
Okay.
But Jack in the Box puts too much mayonnaise on all their food, first of all. It's unnecessary. But they do make a really mean milkshake. The other thing I hate about Jack in the Box, I think now they only make curly fries. I think they've gone away from regular fries. Arby's did that,
too. I'm not a curly fry guy.
I don't like curly fries. I don't like that. I don't like it that Arby's, I don't even know what to do now because they used to have regular fries and curly fries. Now there's just curly, and I don't want that.
People ask, did you see Jimmy Kimmel and Ted Cruz are playing one-on-one here Saturday?
Yes, and there is I don't want to advertise it too much because it's still up in the air, but there's an outside shot that...
We get Ted Cruz?
That Jimmy Kimmel is going to come on our show.
Oh.
And my buddy works for Jimmy Kimmel. And he put in all the requests, and he's got direct access to Jimmy and his people. And Jimmy wants to do it. The issue comes where is ABC going to allow him to do local media? Because ABC's PR people are apparently constantly paranoid, especially since they just lost Roseanne. They don't want anybody saying anything too off-color. And that means they don't want to put their stars in a position to say anything off color. So they may not allow it, but it's a possibility. And that would be really awesome if we could, because I kind
of... You know, the ABC affiliate here is a partner of Culture Map, if that does any good.
You know what?
Might mention that, right?
Might, yeah.
ABC Channel 13 is a Culture Map partner.
Yeah.
See?
Hopefully we make it happen.
See? See, I'm just doing my best to help here.
Well, and ESPN is owned by Disney.
I know.
Which owns ABC. I know.
But I think they don't care about that. They just don't. Thinking, here's a couple local hacks who are going to, you know, get Jimmy to say something horrible, and then it's going to go everywhere. And, and I don't blame them. I understand that, especially because of that Roseanne thing. I understand them being
concerned
about it.
Yeah.
Should we scrub our podcast page?
Yes, do that immediately.
Take every evidence down.
Also, delete my Twitter page, everything like that. Get rid of it all.
We'll let them sit in here with us. We've had to do that before.
The PR folks.
They wouldn't have any problem with that. And if they just start giving us the throat slash,
Yeah, it's simple.
Yeah.
Just keep pushing.
Yeah.
No, you just.
That's what it means,
what are you
right?
Do Jim walk out on this interview because you don't like my
questions? No, you know what AJ's go to move is when they start doing that? He just looks directly at whoever he's interviewing.
I do that. I do that often.
And then I pretend like I'm trying to get his attention, and he knows not to look at me.
Fred, I'm so locked in on the interview. Listen, I'm...
I guess we shouldn't have told him that ahead of time.
All right, guys, let me tell you about Republic Harley-Davidson. I got my bike serviced there a little while ago, and it's not the closest dealership to my house by far, but... It is the only dealership in the area with 7 master technicians on staff, way more than any other Harley-Davidson dealership in Houston. You know the job's going to get done right. You've got quality people working on your bike. ROT rally coming up. Get a new bike. Right now you buy a new 2018 Harley. You get free mufflers, free air cleaner, free street tuner, free professional dyno tuning, free installation only at Republic Harley-Davidson. They've got the top-rated customer satisfaction numbers in the city. Even above the national and district averages. Cool Dad's Hot Breakfast, June 16th. You want to get your dad's a Harley guy? You want to do something cool with him for Father's Day? Go out to Republic Harley-Davidson. 9 to 11, they're going to have free breakfast. Take him around, let him test drive a bike, see what he's into. Bike Night, June 21st at 6 p.m. Live music by the Midnight Release. Free food, drinks, and door prizes. And that's that night. You get to register for a free Harley Davidson that they're giving away in October. You can only register at bike nights, so you got to be there to do it. And then they've got a stunt show with One Wheel Revolution, easy for me to say, on June 23rd. It's a badass stunt show. They're doing it at Republic Harley Davidson. Saturday, June 23rd from 12 to 7. Bring the kids. It's going to be awesome to watch. Whatever your Harley needs, service, newer pre-owned bikes, merchandise, riding classes, Republic's got you covered. Financing for everyone, 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or online at republichd.com. That's Republic Harley Davidson.
And same day funding.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Michael Jackson, I'm not happy with. This guy was acting like a goofball tonight. You get this opportunity to come in and fight CM Punk, and you're doing like bolo punches to the body on top. Never looked like he was trying to finish the fight ever, right? Looked like he could have finished the fight a few times. Never tried. I don't know what that guy did for a living before we gave him the shot, but whatever it was, he needs to go back and do that again. Well, he's 0-2 as far as I'm concerned.
Well, to that point, it seemed like he was trying to milk it to stay on TV longer. Did you get that sense?
I got the sense that he's a complete f***ing idiot, and I couldn't wait for that fight to end, and I regretted not putting it on Fight Pass.
Is that it for his UFC career?
That's it for his UFC career. Yeah, I wouldn't put that kid in the contender series.
And we're back on the Blitz. And that was Dana White on our guests. Mike the Truth Jackson, who actually
That's right.
does have a pretty good career outside of fighting.
He'll make it.
Yeah,
he'll be okay.
He does okay. He's also a great follow on Twitter if you're not following him, the Truth Jackson.
You might not want to follow him. Give him a week.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of hatred on there.
Yeah.
For a guy who won a fight.
Well, he didn't win it the right way.
My Instagram comments are now resembling the YouTube comment section. It's crazy.
That's wild. You know, I think that you were in an awkward situation. And honestly, I think that you and I have had kind of similar goes at our professional fighting careers. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of parallels between them because we both fought someone who didn't earn their way into a fight. They talked their way into it.
Mm-hmm.
We fought someone who was not properly trained as a fighter.
Phil didn't really talk his way. He used his name.
He used his name, but I mean, sure. The same thing. And then, it was one of those situations where if it's hard to look good when you're fighting someone who is almost. Like who probably doesn't belong in the cage.
Hey, your man, he actually sent me like two voice messages on Facebook.
Oh,
and
boy.
I was like, how are you comparing yourself to me? Like, you're a bum.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you have no fight experience yet. I do. You know what I'm saying? It was weird.
Well, he has about 62 seconds of fight experience.
I guess on the baseball. Hey, did you see the video when he was in the streets?
I blocked him on Facebook the day after we fought.
Oh, this is a good one. So it was funny because like they're doing a little street fighting, and you could tell like it's in a residential neighborhood, and so they're doing their thing, and then all of a sudden you see him like fade off of camera, and you're like, what happened? And then a car drives by. These dudes call car timeout for a street fight. Like, remember the old school days you played basketball in front of the house on the street?
Yep.
Car. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, bum one and bum two.
Oh, boy.
Don't you miss those.
But I did think that it was going to be tough for you, even if you won, to make it seem like to make people happy. Because had you lost, it would have been, oh, dude, you're trash. How do you lose to that guy?
Right, right.
And then when you win, it's like, you should have beat that guy worse than you did, you shouldn't have even been fighting. And I mean,
right.
You know.
So now I'm getting right. So everybody know I was talking, and I was like, "Yo, I want the first round knockout, right? Or the second, or just wanted the first or second round knockout." And then on the way to the arena, I'm sitting there talking to Bob, and I was like, "You know what? I just get the first round and get out of here. You know what I'm saying? Because I wanted to go get the deep dish, right?
That's exactly what I thought when I fought a bum. I was like, I got to get this guy out of here because I
was like, let me get the first rounder and go get this deep dish. So during the fight, I hit him with some solid shots. I hurt him a couple times. And this is just the first round alone. I hit him with some punches. I hit him with the elbows. But he never left his feet. And so in my mind, I'm like, all right. And I knew he was tough going into the fight. But my thing, I was like, yo, I don't want to rush in going in for the kill and then get caught with some silly stuff. And then I'm a meme forever. Pat and Rose, they FaceTime me like the next day. And all he could do was laugh. And we talked about it. He said, bruh, if you'd have lost to CM Punk, I would have laughed at you forever.
Let me ask you something about CM Punk, because I was not as, you know, aware of CM Punk as a pro wrestler. Did you ever watch him wrestle?
By the time I got out of wrestling, he was, I want to say, coming to his ECW days, coming to the end there, which he was still big there. I just didn't really – I knew of him, but I wasn't necessarily like a fan of his where I watched him. I was still, you know, in the WWF Attitude Era.
Okay, so here's my take. I just assumed because CM Punk was a pro wrestler that he was a plus athlete.
No, I knew that going into it that he wasn't.
And during the Mickey Gall fight, I never really got to see enough of him to know what he was because he threw one punch, got taken down. He was so slow. Was he slower than you expected him to be?
He was as slow as I thought he would be. Because I was just saying, I've seen so many fighters throughout my career. I've seen the top of the top. I've seen the bummiest of the bums.
Yeah.
And I've seen everywhere in between. And I had an idea of what I was getting myself into just off of his Mitch video. Like, I saw the Pat videos that he's done. I saw a little bit of sparring. And I knew exactly what I was getting into. So when I was in there...
He made a mistake releasing that video.
Nothing surprised. I mean, he had no choice really, though. I mean, I guess he couldn't and didn't have to release it.
I mean, they would have put him on the pay-per-view anyway.
You know what I'm saying?
That same thing happened to me. The guy I fought posted a video of him hitting a punching bag, like a heavy bag. And I started thinking to myself, oh, my God. Yeah, this guy is even worse than I thought he was going to be. Like, this almost makes me feel sad for him. But watching CM Punk fight, I was like, the way he moves his feet, like, it just seemed like, how can this guy have been doing this for 3 years and this is where he's at? It just doesn't make sense to me.
But you looking at this from an athletic standpoint, you're looking at someone that comes in who has some kind of athletic background and they're learning fighting. We're talking about someone who's the opposite of that, who doesn't have that athletic skill set.
Right. So CM Punk was not like a Brock Lesnar. No, he wasn't athletic. Like, Brock Lesnar is a physical freak.
Yes. Brock and Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, these guys are strong, fast guys. He was fast, twitch muscles.
Right. He was just a hard worker and a grinder. So if it takes Brock Lesnar,
CM Punk's like Repo Man, I think, the old wrestler Repo Man.
But he was better as far as a performer, though. He was better. I went back and watched some highlights of his things and like his promos and his in-ring performance, and he was better than that. But again, if it takes Brock Lesnar a day to learn something, it's going to take Phil about 10.
But Phil's also, I mean, he was at a world-class training camp. Like, I mean,
Man, that don't matter. None of that matters. I get what you're saying, and
because
that
he just
sense.
Doesn't have the athletic tools. He's 39 years old.
And the wear and tear on the body. These are real factors.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a 39 who has been running triathlons and, you know, and stuff like that, who's an athlete. He's a 39-year-old who's put years into pro wrestling. And that's wear and tear on your body.
So from what I saw and what I've seen on social media is everyone's accusing you of showboating your way through the last two rounds.
Okay, so here,
would you consider it showboating, or were you considering it just making sure you stayed in control
none
and
of
playing
that.
It safe?
So here's what happened. So here's where so people think it was showboating and taunting because they were coming from their perspective and they didn't understand what was going on. So first of all, they're talking about when I wasn't looking at him when I punched him. Why do I have – when did not looking at someone you punch them become showboating?
You're supposed to always look at someone when you punch them. That's the rules.
I guess so. That's the rules, right? That was something I heard. And then it was about the bolo punches that Dana White was talking about.
Right.
So in concern of that, first the looking, I was looking at my corner.
right.
for instruction. And so what happened was I heard it was UFC Hall of Famer Pat Miletich is in my corner. I heard his voice. So I looked up. And when I looked up, I happened to throw a punch that landed. I remember when I was in his guard and I was looking at
him. Like you were just trying to keep your hands busy.
Exactly. So when I was looking at him, and again, if you're looking at someone on top, you can kind of get a fair assessment of where the shots are coming from, and you can defend those easily. Well, when I looked up and I threw the punch, it landed. So I was like, oh, okay, let's do it again. I threw another punch when I didn't look at it, and it landed. So I was like, well, when I don't look at him, the punches are landing. Well, just don't look at him and punch him.
Yeah,
and
keep that's doing
what,
that.
Right. I mean, because, again, if you look at the fight, those were effective strikes. And then as far as the bolo, so he was talking about when I, like, had my hand up and I was kind of, like, whirling it around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. First of all, I'm not going to assist. If you look at look at fights, people will get in their guards and people will just punch. Again, you're punching gloves, you're punching arms.
You're wasting energy.
You're wasting energy. I'm an efficient guy. I'm not in here to waste energy. So what I did, when I had my hand up in the air, it was kind of like a distraction. And for me, I'm trying to fill a hole. I'm trying, whether it be the face, whether it be the body, right? And so as I'm kind of doing this with my hand, I see the body opens up and I drop it down and boom, I land. And if you look at, again, those strikes, when I'm doing that, those strikes are landing. And what happens is you get people who are not accustomed to that kind of striking, and they're like, oh, he's showboating and taunting. I was like, no, I'm beating this dude up.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? That's what I'm saying. So, but let's say hypothetically that I were showboating and taunting. I'm still beating him up. Isn't that the objective?
Yeah.
It's not like I'm showboating and getting beat up.
Anderson Silva showboated all the time.
Right. And you know what I'm saying? But now I'm the bad guy because I did it to CM Punk. And I'm just like, yo, you.
Well, I wanted to ask you a couple things about it because I didn't see the fight live and I start reading all this stuff and I hear Dana's comments. So the first thing I do is go and watch it. And I'm like, this isn't nearly as bad as what they're saying. What the hell? But do you think, and I heard Barry talk about this yesterday on his show, do you think Dana was deflecting a little bit from the fact that this guy, you know, really didn't belong on a card?
Two things. One, I think I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because I asked another reporter who was a friend of mine who was there, he watched. I asked him, hey, do you think I was showboating? And he said, in the moment when I watched it live, it did look like you were showboating. But I remember the when I asked you the question in the post-fight, I went back and rewatched the fight, and then I looked at it from your perspective. I was like, oh, I get it. You weren't showboating. You were doing what you were saying you were doing, right? So from what I'm taking from this is that from Dana White's perspective during the fight, it looked like I was showboating. But he didn't understand where I was coming from. If he would have just – again, Dana's an emotional cat. So to take –
Well, Dana also just had a card, a pay-per-view card, where all five fights went to decision, which is never ideal.
That's fair too.
Like, so, he almost ran out of pay-per-view time. Like, that's not ideal.
No, it's not. So, again, from his perspective, okay, it may look showboating, but you still don't do that, though. You don't go off on this rant and criticize me without knowing what happened. And, again, I understand if it was something else, cool, but you don't know the full scope of what happened, right? This dude goes off, and he just runs his mouth, and I'm like, now it almost feels like you're deflecting. I didn't force CM Punk to get in the cage. You signed him. I didn't pay him.
Right.
You pay you, and then I literally told,
why is it your fault that you made him look so horrible?
Right.
You signed a horrible guy.
I told y'all what I was gonna do to him. I didn't. There was no misconceptions. I said, look, man, I'm coming here to, and I respect him 100%. And Phil is a nice guy, 100%. But I told you, I was like, I'm coming in here to prove not only that there are levels to this. I want to beat him up just enough to make him not want to do this anymore.
Right.
I didn't want to hurt him. And now, so I didn't get the first round.
That was a little bit different than my fight. I wanted to hurt him and make him never want to do it again because I hurt him.
And I would have done the exact same thing in your shoes, right?
But Phil Brooks doesn't tap to strikes.
No, he doesn't. And I knew he was going to be tough. So when he didn't drop from the first round from those heaters I threw at him, I was like, you know what? This guy doesn't deserve to get punched like this in the head anymore. And look, he has a fine AJ Lee. Yo, she bad, yo. He got her to go home to. He has a dog to go home to. Who am I to give this dude brain damage? So I just wanted to beat him up a little bit.
So at the end of the first round, maybe like a minute left in the first round, he lands a takedown. Which, by the way, his takedown attempts were all pretty horrible, but he eventually grinded his way into a takedown. You're in his guard. He's not really doing anything.
And then I get up.
The commentators, of course, are, CM Punk may have just stole this round.
Hold on, what?
Have you watched the fight with commentary?
No.
Oh, yeah. They said CM Punk may have just stole this round with that takedown.
How? I beat his face in.
Well, listen, you know how it is. Like, sometimes people forget that once there's a takedown. But did you? So you had no, you, like, that takedown to you in your mind, like, there was, you said there's 0% chance that he won that first round.
There was never a doubt in my mind that I lost any point in that fight.
Were you surprised when, because, well, you beat him up and it was pretty lopsided, were you surprised at the 30-26 scores?
No.
Because, like, did you ever feel like you had him? When I do a 10-8 round, I think, like, somebody almost lost the fight in that round. Like, they were to the point where they were, like, you know, falling down right. Like, you know. To me, I told you this privately, the Whitaker-Romero fight, there were no 10-8 rounds in
right.
Even though round 3 and 5, it looked like Robert Whitaker might die in the cage.
But he kind of I remember that. But Robert came back. He kind of composed himself. At no point in round 2 was this guy I was just beating this dude up for the whole round. And it's all about damage. Did you see his face?
Oh, yeah.
He went to the hospital after. I sent this man to a hospital because of the damage I did. And again, this was just from the punches. Like, man, what if I would have just gave this dude brain? They could go in the back and run a CAT scan. Now he has bleeding on the brain. I would have felt bad.
You got time to hang for another segment?
Of course. Let's go.
John, let's hit a break. We're going to come back. We'll wrap this thing up with Mike. Let me tell you about my computer career, guys. If you're in a job that you don't love, CM Punk, if you're tired of getting punched in the face for money, maybe you should consider a career in IT. Like my buddy Larry, not really my buddy, but this guy named Larry, who was living at home with his mom a year ago, making minimum wage. And he's like, man, life ain't that great. And now Larry's 3 months into his IT career. He's making triple the money, doing something that he actually enjoys. If you don't love what you do, change it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. If you don't have experience or training with computers, they don't care. Helping people start an IT career is what they do, guys. You attend classes on campus or live online 2 or 3 times a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, number one sports show in Houston. Probably the number one sports story of the week, certainly in the fighting world, with Mike the Truth Jackson joining us.
Hey, I made the Daily Show.
I know, I saw. Yeah. How much of the rest of the card did you get to watch?
I watched bits and pieces, especially the main card. I was actually on Twitter dealing with the trolls for the remainder of the main card.
What's a great thing is that Romero-Whitaker fight, probably the best fight that's happened in 2018.
That was a fun fight.
That's a fight. Like, that was a fun fight. When two dudes, I mean, they look like mongoloids walking out of the ring. I mean, they're beat to hell, like
I never
broken
be
hands,
in that kind of
broken
fight,
bodies. It's just like, dude, these two, and it's the second time they've done it.
I never want to be in that kind of fight.
I'm not
about that life.
Hell no. The first gym I went to, the whole thing was you hit them, they hit you.
Oh, I ran into a macaco too.
Yeah, I heard. But I was like, man, that's just not for me. I want to hit you and not get hit.
Well, that's the objective of it, dude.
I subscribe to a different philosophy. So one of the other things that I thought that you and I sort of paralleled in was I don't think you ever had plans to be a professional MMA fighter, right? Like you had kind of – you did the amateurs for a while, and you were like, okay, you wanted to box?
Well, up to – so I had – when 2016 came around, and I was coming off of – I went to the doctor. I had a nagging injury. He was like, yo, you need to take like 8 weeks off because you've been – that's why it hasn't healed is because you keep consistently training. So I took the 8 weeks off, and then this was like the end of 2015. So now 2016 is here. And so I'm like, well, I know I'm covering the sport. I want to compete at least like one or two MMA fights a year, just because, right? And my thing is, obviously, I'm tied to LFA, or at the time it was
Legacy.
I was like, hey, I'll just fight on a, like a Legacy card. And it didn't even have to be on TV. I just wanted to do it just as far as, because I love
just to get
sport.
It. Yeah.
Just that was nothing. It, you know, that was nothing. That was all to it. Well, then I'm training for a week after I got back off, or after I was gone for 8 weeks. I'm training for a week. Well, 4 days. That was Monday through Thursday. I took Friday off, and Saturday is basically when I got the call to fight Mickey Gall.
Okay.
And then the fight was on like a month's notice.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You knew, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth or make like act like my assumption is correct. So I'll ask you. When they offered you Mickey Gall, you go to the internet, you look at Mickey Gall's fights. Did you go, oh, yeah, I'll beat this guy's ass?
So I only
or did
saw,
you think, man, this isn't ideal for me, but because it was in the UFC,
well,
let's do it?
Well, originally it was proposed that I would fight on a Legacy card, and then the winner would go on to fight Punk in the UFC.
Okay.
And I was like, man.
That's not ideal because there's not enough money in it.
That's what I was thinking.
And it's a fight. I mean, that fight,
it's
on paper.
It's a dangerous fight.
That guy's pretty damn good.
Right.
Like, he's – that's a – and you're a guy who's been off for a while.
Exactly.
Like, so that's like, not the, that's not the fight you're looking for a pro debut.
Exactly. And I was like, man, I don't know. Well, then you get the call, well, it'll be in the UFC. I was like, oh, well, sign me up.
Okay.
Let's go. Yeah. And so I was like, let's boogie, you know. And so it was basically a crash course in MMA for 4 weeks. Because that's really all I had to train for that fight. It was about, let's say, four and a half weeks, right? I'm not getting to this guy's level. So for me, not saying that I went in with a mindset that I was going to lose, but my mindset was avoid the take, circle, 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 avoid the takedown, get the knockout. That was the game plan.
Right.
Obviously, game plan failed, right? For this fight against...
Well, that guy's a more complete fighter, I think, than we even
correct.
Knew. And, like, he's a good fighter.
Right. And he was a good fighter, or is a good fighter. He was much longer. So things that, when I'm circling with my hands down, I just didn't know how long he was. And just, look, I zigged when I should have zagged, and it is what it is.
It happens.
Well, for Phil, I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew how to prepare, and I wanted to be my best. And that's what I did, and that's what showed up.
So... one of the things that I said, I don't think Phil should fight MMA anymore. I said, listen, I know that if it's a hobby for you, like I still go to the gym and train every day. I enjoy it, but actually competing, like it maybe it's just not for him.
If he wants to train, I get he can be in there training.
People got on me for saying that, saying if he wants to fight on a regional circuit, let him do it. Am I wrong in saying that, like, you're the kind of fighter that he would get as a debuter on the regional circuit?
Exactly.
Like, that's exactly what it would look like if this was at LFA or Fury Fighting here in Humble.
Right.
That's what your first fight would be.
Yeah.
And he just got dominated. Yeah. I mean, like, he's just not a professional fighter.
Man, I went back and I was watching, because I only saw, like, the first two embeddeds while I was out there. And I watched the rest of them. And I was last night and I legit felt bad. Like, I know in the fight I'm carrying him and I'm not trying to hurt him and knock him out. But then after watching the embedded and seeing everything he was doing and getting close-ups on his face and seeing his – and I legit felt bad that I beat this guy up that way.
Yeah, because like you said, he's a nice guy.
He is.
And he seemed like a respectful
and
dude. He's
and
like,
now if he was Colby Covington with that kind of personality, right, I would have been happy to continue to smack him, you know. But being that Phil is such a nice guy, and Duke is their great gym. I know teammates of his.
Yeah.
Great guys, great group of people. I legit felt bad for hitting that man, or just doing what I did to him.
Yeah.
But it's a fight.
That's a fight. That's what you're there to do.
God, I still feel bad when I think about it, though.
I don't feel bad. Listen, that's part of the game.
You know, and look at the bright side. You got a ton of attention out of this, and that's going to help you with everything else you do. So even if it's not the best attention, hey, that's we got popular by pepper spraying this guy.
That's right.
let me ask you this. Was Phil better than – was he as good as some of the amateurs you fought?
Yeah, I mean, he's better than Bum One.
Okay.
For 100%.
Okay.
100%.
So if they fought, he'd be
Phil would smack Bum One around like it was nothing.
But, like, did you feel – because I'm asking you because I didn't feel the satisfaction – When I won that fight,
I thought I was going to feel. He tapped the strikes. You didn't let out what you wanted to let out.
You felt satisfied. Like, you felt like you had won a fight.
I was 100% satisfied. I was satisfied after the first round.
Okay.
I was ready. I knew what it was, you know. And, like, I talked to UFC Hall of Famer Pat Miletich in the corner, and I was like, hey, you know, because they were trying to give me more. Oh, you need to. And I was like, man, they looked at it and was like, you just having fun.
By the way, I think it's the funniest thing in the world that Pat Miletich was in your corner. Because you two could not be more different.
But the crazy thing is that we are different, but we have a lot of similarities as well.
You guys are both Trump guys.
Not at all.
No, just him?
Just him. Okay. That's not one of the similarities at all. We're polar opposites there.
Very much.
But, you know, I love Pat, man. He's like the uncle that you only see like probably like 3-4 times a year, although I see him more. But, you know, you invite him to the cookout. You had that Sunday show. And then you just know he's going to say some reckless stuff at the table. That's Pat.
Like the crazy uncle, old uncle.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what he's the crazy old uncle.
Are you done fighting professionally, you think?
I don't know.
Or at least fighting MMA. I know you want to box more, but do you think like it would have to be the right opportunity?
For me to compete, and then I said this at the beginning. I was like, for me to fight in MMA, it has to be the right opportunity. It has to be the right money. I got bums like Jacob Capelli. And I don't even say his name because he's such a bum. He's constantly on my. I'm like, dude, you're like 5-10 or whatever your upside down record is. I would have to. People only gonna pay me like at best $1,000.
Right.
I'm not fighting a Jacob Capelli, this bum, for $1,000.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if he wants to put up the other 9, I'll fight him for 10. If he wants to pay me, let the promoter pay me a G, and then he pay me another 9. I go out there and knock him out. But other than that, it doesn't do me anything.
Tell him you can keep your 9 if you beat me.
Yeah, he can. He can keep his 9 if he beat me. But you're going to have to put that 9 up in escrow somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I get he's trying to make a name off for himself. But
once you fought in the UFC, like it seems silly now to go back and fight like for a regional circuit, fighting somebody that no one's ever heard of.
Right,
like,
100%.
Because being an MMA fighter wasn't your number one goal.
Exactly. I'm here to build the Might the Truth Entertainment brand, and that's what we were elevating the platform, and we're taking it to another level. And that's what we're here for. That was the main mission. That was the main objective here, is to lift the platform for these up-and-coming prospects. You know, I was telling people, I was there when the Derrick Lewis's and Sage Northcutts were making their debuts. Now we got the new crop of prospects coming out. We have the Kevin Hollins, who was on tonight's Contender Series. We have the Juan Adams, who's an up-and-coming heavyweight prospect on this up-and-coming Contender Series. So now these guys that are on these Contender Series – no, I mean, think about it. Do people really, outside of their immediate fans, no one really knows who these people are.
No.
But now, with my platform, people will know who they are before they get to the UFC. And that's my main objective here. I'm here to help the up-and-coming fighters and the prospects make a name for themselves.
All right. That's Mike the Truth Jackson. Hey, man, we appreciate you coming in. Congratulations on the win. And I'm sure we'll see you in a boxing ring or a cage somewhere in the near future.
Or taking the dopest pictures.
Yeah, taking a picture, doing something. Maybe even taking a dump. Who knows?
Nah.
Or where I'll see you next.
I don't even do those.
You don't ever?
Nah.
Good for you. All right, guys. I appreciate it, Mike. We'll talk to you soon, brother. All right, I got to tell you guys about Dirt Free. Your kids are on summer break. Cool for them, right? It's bad news for your carpets. It's extra foot traffic. They're dragging in dirt. They're dragging in pollen. They were at the pool earlier today. Now they're walking in there wet. They're nastying up your floors. It shouldn't be that way. Dirt Free is going to help you out. For a limited time, they'll clean 3 rooms for $100, and they're going to give you a free speed dry. The other guys leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that'll make your family sick. That ain't the deal at Dirt Free. 281 Dirt Free. Go chemical free with Dirt Free. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, even your air ducts. Call them right now at 281 Dirt Free. Tell them you heard it here from AJ, and they'll clean 3 rooms for $100, and they're going to throw in a free speed dry. You can't beat that. 281 Dirt Free. 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
Answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.